Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Blue Aircraft, Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton, yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you.
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I'm saying? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Welcome to the show. We may have technical difficulties because some people are saying they can't hear. So now I have to figure out, are we broadcasting live? And if we're not, we're still going to do the interview, and you can hear it in podcasts. So the show must go on. I would like to test it out. So what I'm going to do to see if I can fix this, because Tony says that she cannot hear the show. Hold on 1 second. And I'm just going to play a quick song. And maybe I'm not going to, because I'm going to see if I can fix this glitch. Let me see what I can do here to see if this show is broadcasting. The second time it happened this week, and it's not my fault. It is Blog Talk's fault. And I'm talking to Tony now. Let me see if I can see if our show is broadcasting. So I'm going to go to Blog Talk right now. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm going to see if we can hear the show. Let me see here. We're live. And it shows us. Shows us live. Let me hit it. And let me see if we are broadcasting. I'm loading the audio right now. It's loading. Yeah, we're broadcasting. Okay. We're broadcasting. All right, let's see if I can get tears. Yes, Tony, we are broadcasting. I just tested it. Sometimes you have to hit that little button, and it loads the audio. We are live, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson. We're the number one show in the morning. If we're here on a Saturday, it can only be one thing. That means Tony got a new book. Because we don't do Saturday shows, but when Tony got a new book, we're doing a Saturday show. That's exactly what we're doing. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. We are worldwide. We're number one in the morning with the best authors, musicians, filmmakers, the best guests, philosophers, psychiatrists, and people who write about sex. That's what we do. We get the message out. If you'd like to support Tony, you'd like to come in the studio, all you have to do is call the number. That's 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. 527-6099. That's the number that will get you in the studio. That's the number that gets your voice heard. If you're an author, when you do support Tony, also mention the book that you have out. Now, Tony's in the studio. You know, I interviewed her before. She's one of my favorite guests. There's two things we have in common. One, we're sucking smoke. I didn't realize she was in Washington State. The hills are on fire. It's getting closer to it's around us right now in Southern California, and we'll talk to her briefly about that. But there's another thing that I did not know about Tony, and I did not know this. I'm going to read it really fast because she's here. Well, Tony's a child of the 60s. I guess she was born in the Midwest. Or Northwest. Midwest by birth, Northwest by choice. Okay. Tony challenges the boundaries for women of a certain age. After a long career as an insurance adjuster, she fell into writing through a challenge from a friend. She has released her first book, Old Baggage, and recently followed with Mildred in Disguise with Diamonds. There are three more in the grinder. Tony never dated Mick Jagger, but marched for civil rights. I didn't know that. She shared bread with icons of politics and art. Did not know that. She is spending her retirement gathering stories, prime for embellishment. Did know that. Writing has taught her inspiration without perspiration. It's just a good idea. And her website is tonykeith.com. And for you older people who don't know anything about a computer, hit www.tonykeith. I think it's Keith. That's K-I-E-F.com. That's tonykeith.com. All right. We've gotten a little bit about Tony, and we're going to bring her in the studio. And again, if we're broadcasting Saturday, Tony has a new book. Great authors don't just write one book. They continue and they write great stuff. Tony's no exception. From the author who brought us Mildred, Doubles Down on the Edge of a Storm, Mildred Unchained Book 4. Her new book is just an exciting release of Saints, Strangers, and I think I cut out that word. Hold on. Release of Saints, Strangers, and... Oh, it is. What the hell is a rose ship? Rose ship tea. Anywho, we're going to find out. That's why she's here. It's the story of Susanna White on the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower Crossing. Half of them died in the first few months of arrival. She was a survivor. Oh, that's interesting. And ladies and gentlemen, enough of me babbling. It's time to bring in the great, the legendary, the bestseller. And I'm thinking her name is Kiev. Tony Kiev. I think I'm going to take a shot at this. All right. Let me get the people in the studio. They're falling in. And here we go. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
More than
glad to be here. And it is Keith, K-I-E-F.
So it is Keith, K-I-E-F?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, Tony Keith, Tony with an I. Tony, welcome to the show. We interviewed before. You're one of my best people. I love talking to you. I did not know that background about you, especially you're a troublemaker. So apparently...
Well, it's just in your nature sometimes.
Yeah, you're just restless. Civil rights thing, I did not know that. Briefly, can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Well, it actually, you know, anything that goes wrong, I always blamed on Ronald Reagan, but now it's changing. But he's the one that got me to finally go out and march in the streets and scream and yell about civil rights and women's rights. I was the president of a large chapter of NOW, and I have an FBI file.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you guys.
It's paper.
You guys, yeah, you got
three credits. I don't
think
it's in their computer at all, but it's there.
Wow. Yeah. Do you have a problem with that if you go if you book a flight or if you go traveling internationally? Does that show up?
No, not at all. That's why I think it's a paper file in a cabinet in the basement at the FBI office.
Look at you. You're a thug. You're like an author's thug. You got FBI files and everything. You're a bad element. I like it. Tony, let's get to you. You are terrific. Tony, let's get right to it. You hear the seller book, release of Saints, Strangers, Rose Hip Tea?
Yes.
Mm.
Well, where this came from was that my father has a cousin who did a family history, and he did really heavy, like 30 years of research, and he sent us all a copy, and we found out that we were related to Susanna White,
mm-hmm.
and she was a survivor. I mean, she was one of the few that made it through the first year.
Right.
And I got interested and got digging, and I felt like I owed it to this woman in our history that is instrumental in, you know, the establishment of the Americas as we know it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just couldn't. We dug even further and found out we were related to Anne Boleyn, too, which was part of the reason the church is divided. So, like. And it's amazing when you get into the maternal side of the family histories, which are usually not shared.
Right. They're all troublemakers. Look at that.
Well, it can't be helped. It's genetic.
I know. You're raising your voices and you're making changes. How dare you? Congratulations on that. That's a great legacy, tell you the truth. Congratulations on that. You know,
I always thought if I knew who we were connected to, I would have behaved better.
You know, I'm having one of those things, like, be careful how far past did you want to look into, because there's going to be somebody in history that are not going to be too – I mean, how would you like to go, you know, look in the past and find out that you're related to Jack the Ripper or Hitler or somebody like that? I mean, is that a good thing?
Well, yes.
Really?
I think it is, you know, to recognize and dig in. I think everybody has an amazing history in there,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know exactly what lines to follow to find it. It's there. You know, we all came from the survivors.
That is true, but how does the past reflect our future or our present? I mean, maybe we come from great kings and queens in the past or wonderful people in our legacy, but how does that affect us, or should it? I mean, they did their go ahead.
I think it should encourage us, if nothing else.
You think so?
Encourage to do better or, you know, to really step up.
Hmm. Wow. Always interesting talking to you, Tony with an I. Well, you go back 400 years, half of them die. Yeah, I saw a biography on it once, and whether it's Scarlet Fever or whatever, it was a horrific trip. It was a horrific trip.
It was like, and I believe it was scurvy. That's why I included the rose hip tea.
Right.
Because as I pondered Susanna, I thought, she came across on this trip that was horrendous. And she was pregnant with one child and had a toddler. Mm. How did she keep them alive?
Right.
And the more I thought about it, the more I knew she had to be probably an herbalist or a healer of some sort. So I got her into doing midwife work, and those were the main healers we had in ancient times.
Right. Right.
And so I got her into that and herbs, and I found out that rose hips are excellent fight against scurvy.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Do we still have scurvy today, or is it just a different name that we call it, and it's basically scurvy?
Well, we found out that it was, you know, lack of vitamin C, and so it's been pretty well handled. That's why they used to take all kinds of limes on the ships, and they called the British limeys.
Limeys. Wow. Hey, I got an itch on my elbow. Do I have a scurvy? I'm going to have to look it up to my doctor, MD. You're bringing things to me that I've never thought about, Tony. You know what I mean? You're making me think. But it's very interesting. Let's get right to it. 400 years. 400 years. Civil rights.
On the 16th of September, 400 years ago, that the ship took off from Plymouth, England. That's why I kind of rushed this book out.
Right. It's a good thing they did, because if the Plymouth Rocks and the Mayflower did not land, I mean, those damn Indians call themselves Americans. How dare they? We taught them. All right. You know what it is, the interview with me, Tony. You know what
yes.
it is. Interview. Okay. We'll get to the serious
now,
stuff.
Now, don't get the Pilgrims confused with the Puritans.
Right.
Because the Pilgrims left. They just wanted freedom of religion. They just wanted
right.
to be able to establish their own religious freedom to worship as they wished, and they used the Geneva Bible. They did not want King James to crank out a Bible.
Mm.
And so they wanted just the freedom, and they didn't missionary. Now, when the Puritans
really?
Came over, that changed.
You're such a nice girl, but when you said that word, you know where I went to, and I have to go there. Is
okay.
that how we got the missionary position, seriously? Because I heard a rumor in the Catholic religion way back in the day that having sex without the purpose of producing a child is a sin, and the only way that God grants you the free will to have sex is to bear children. If you do it, and they call it the missionary position, where you know what a missionary position, I'm hoping you do, because I really don't want to explain sex to you, Tony. Because then
well,
I have to bring out the chart.
I was looking at your webpage and all the pictures, and I thought, and he's going to have someone talking about the Pilgrims.
Exactly. Me. I mean, I'm the wrong guy, baby. But I'm good with promoting and marketing. But did you know that? That was a very interesting thing. So they granted, the church granted that position called the missionary position. It's the only one that God will allow couples to have sex. Did you hear that story?
Well, not originally.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm old.
I mean, oh, you're so difficult. You're a troublemaker.
Can't help
Loss
it.
Of, no. Loss of woman's history. Tell me about it. The loss of a woman's history. Oh, by the way, you're a civil rights activist, and God bless Ruth Ginsburg, who just passed away yesterday. I mean, this woman was a hero, a pioneer, just somebody, and it's just part of the women's rights movement, and God bless her.
Always outspoken. I mean, she didn't, you know, hide back and try to be polite.
Right.
You know, if something needed to be said or done, she would do it.
Mm. What a strong lady. Like I said, I call her Lady Liberty. God bless her. God bless her. May your journey to the new world and your new journey begins. Let's go back with your book now. Loss of Women's History. Tell me about it.
Well, actually, when I was about 60, I was in a group that was disbanding, and one of the guys said he wanted to write. And I said, if you write, I'll write. So together, we did a cookbook that never got published. And it was Dangerous Dishes and the Food They Inspire. And we did biographies of women through history and myth.
Right.
And then we cooked for them. Mm-hmm. But we did it with real high humor at the same time. And it really brought to the forefront how there was, you know, if men were there, women were there.
Mm-hmm.
Martha Washington was a camp follower. She
really?
Went with George on these campaigns, took care of his uniforms, his food, and his camp.
Wow.
But we don't know that. You know, we think she's sitting back at the plantation having a mimosa or something.
Right.
And she was
right.
there. And women were always there, but we seem to have forgotten their story.
Hmm. They always, you know, you're absolutely right, because we don't hear too much about what the part that women play in history. That's probably very significant of how history was changed for the better, or well, our future was paved for the better because of the women in the history. Do you agree with that, Tony?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a shame that they get lost in history. Well, I'm glad we have authors like you. Seriously. No, I'm very serious. Yeah. You know, we need stories. We need legacy. We need legends. We need heroes. If it wasn't for authors, writers, we would not have any of them.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons they slipped aside, because you didn't educate girls.
Right.
And so they weren't writing. You know, even the pilgrims, they would teach girls just enough to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't taught to write or do numbers or anything. But some of them would take it further, you know, but not near enough. They weren't writing the history, and you know who writes the history is the one that's the hero.
Right, right. Of course. I mean, you're property. Women were basically property. In fact, a horse was more valued than a woman. So, you know, that was the thing. Well, we got to know more about this. It should become a movie. It says here, she was basically lost, and her birth name has just been discovered in the past 2 years. Are we talking about Susanna White?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about
her father ends up, we found out she was a Jackson. We've got, there's a woman in Scrooby Manor, it still stands, where they originally hid their church and church work in the upstairs part of Scrooby Manor, which was kind of the Motel 6 for the royalty. You know, if they're going to Scotland from London, they would usually stop there on the Great Road. And that place still stands. But Sue Allen, who is the historian at Scrooby Manor, has done some great research, and she's the one that found out that it was Jackson, Susanna Jackson. And her father, Richard Jackson, was extremely active in the church, the Separatist Church. And so, you know, that's through him that... She actually worked at the manor as a child. She was kind of raised there. And then she went with him to Amsterdam and was there for many years, and that's where she met William White, her first husband.
Her first husband?
Yes. He died right after, not too long after they had dropped anchor.
What made you concentrate on Susanna White? Is it because of the Mayflower? Is it because of the crossing? Because, which is a horrific story in itself. But you went 400 years. She caught your eye, because I'm sure you went, you know, you had other people that are just as interesting, but you can't. But I see where you did it. I mean, a woman at that period of time, she survived, had a child, holding on to another child. She must have been really young. Let me give her 15 back in those days. 16, maybe?
No, they married a little later. She was probably early 20s.
Oh, okay. And she is what to you? Great.
About 10, 11 greats, grandmother.
11 greats? Wow.
Yeah. Depends on how old I want to admit to being.
Exactly. Well, you're a writer. I mean, you can get a whole biography of you at be 24 right now. And it'll look true. That's one of the good things. But you're young. Come on, Tony. You're young.
Yeah.
I can hear that voice. I buy you a drink, and hopefully you'll get drunk, take you home, and brag about it later, even though we did nothing.
That's not my story.
I know. Not your
I write
story.
Fiction, remember?
I know you do. I know you do. And
that's why my son won't go to a classic car show with me anymore, because so much of my youth was in cars.
Oh my God, we're gonna move on. You give me this fresh meat, and you see if I take it. I know how strong you are, but women healers, women as healers. Back then, it was very dangerous to be a woman healer because someone called them witches. Am I correct? What's going on there?
Absolutely.
If you're experimenting with organic herbs and everything, and you think you can heal, aren't you called a witch? Tell me about it.
Well, also, I did some research on the witch trials. I found out one of Susanna's daughters married one of the judges in Salem,
mm-hmm.
and so I did some I had done some research there too. And it's some of those women were just loud. Some had inherited property with no male heirs, and it was really, it was a big political move. It was one family that did most of the accusations, and that was just people they didn't like, and women that didn't fit into the place that they thought they belonged.
Wow. Can you imagine that? Wow.
Well, they would imprison some of them, and then you had to pay for your own imprisonment, which would take them down to poverty level, and that's kind of where they wanted them. They didn't want them sitting there rich and not married or with sons.
Very interesting. I mean, did you ever think about getting a little further into, because you'll be a great writer with this witch trials and everything, some of the true stories behind there and some of the falsehoods that went with it, and I agree with you. It sounds like it was all political, as far as I'm concerned. Who's a witch? Who was not a witch?
Political,
but,
and fear. But we can see now how fear really can go a long way in convincing people of things that seem ridiculous.
Sure. It's like my girlfriend. She's convinced I'm a great guy. I love it. She has a fear. I love it. She has a fear that I will stay with her and marry her. Fear works for me. Wow.
I can imagine.
You could. I know you could, because you could write about it. historical fiction. Tell me about it.
Well, I really had, it's very hard work. I spent over 4 years in researching this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, you know, I wanted to get details right, but I still wanted to tell the story from her voice. And I didn't want to be too tied, you know, to fact, be able to make her real, or the facts we can get. But but I also wanted to be very accurate, too. And so it was really quite a chore.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt like it needed to be her voice. It didn't need to be me telling her story. She needed to tell it through me because I can type.
And that's another thing. When you put this together, remember the old days we used to use a typewriter? I miss it because you know what I miss on the typewriter? The bells and the whistles. I miss it. And then you hit that little thing back.
You had to slam the return carriage.
You had to slam the return. I mean, you just miss it. You know, just some of the things. There was always one key that got stuck. And every typewriter, I have no idea why that is. There's always that one key. But
I remember when the Selectric came out, I was so excited.
Did you ever think about doing that just for fun? Do you ever think about just going old school and maybe go to a pawn shop, just get a typewriter just for fun and see how many chapters that you can actually type on a typewriter and how fun it would be?
Well, actually, I had bought that Selectric off the street, so it's not too hard to imagine. Yeah, someone came by the office, their company was closing, and it's like, do you want it? And it's like, I certainly do.
Oh, those were the great days. Oh, where did they go? Tablets and phones now. You know, I feel sorry for the generation that grew up in the technology. Technology is not all good. I mean, technology makes you lose your imagination. You don't work. It does dumb you down. That's why they call it a smartphone. It's just, oh, don't get me started. This is about you. tell me the difference between a pilgrim and a Puritan. I can kind of guess, but I have to ask it that way.
Now, the Puritans wanted to change. They wanted to change what was happening, and they were both active in England in the 1600s. And James I, who came in right after Elizabeth, he wanted to take things back to, he wanted to be the lead of the religion. And so he was building the Church of England. And that's why he had the Bible re-edited to help, you know, his political directions. And he passed a law that you had to show up at the Church of England every Sunday or you could be arrested. Well, the Puritans wanted to change what was happening. And the Pilgrims, and they weren't called Pilgrims at the time, but they were separatists. They just wanted to be able to have their own private religion how they had it. So Susanna's father was arrested a couple times by not showing up to church, or they also tried to escape in about 1607. They tried to escape, and they'd hired a ship, and the captain apparently turned him in, and he got arrested and imprisoned for a while. And she would have been about 12 years old at the time. And then they about a year later, they did make the escape. And they got to Amsterdam, and that's where the churches started building. And once you really get digging, you find out that many different Protestant religions came from this group that went to Amsterdam. You know, we've got the Baptists and the Mennonites. And and so, you know, that was really kind of a base. But they had all kinds of political problems there. And most of the people moved to Leiden, and in the Netherlands, because they could find more work. But, you know, Susanna didn't move. She stayed in Amsterdam, and that's why she was kind of on the outside of this group that did come across on the Mayflower, her and her husband. And so they were just probably, I think they were the only ones that, that continued. A bunch in Amsterdam were going to go, but they all pulled out. But she and her husband and their two, well, son and a half, you know, came on over.
Wow.
And I found out the doctor they had on the ship, Dr. Fuller, he wasn't a doctor. He just got a medical book because he figured they would need a doctor.
Damn.
Yeah.
You talk about medieval.
Anything you want to be, just get a book and claim it.
Yeah. Well, that, well,
so
you
that made
well,
her even
you,
more important with herbs and medicines.
Right. Well, back then, if you could read, that gives you some kind of validity there, don't you? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I understand. And there's some learning there if he knows how to read and understand, but how long do
they
take you?
Remember, they were bleeding people then too.
Right.
So you know they were getting sick. He would bleed them.
I know.
You've got to be surprised that 50 of them survived.
Right, but didn't they use was leeches was the main thing to bleed them, or they just cut them? Because I always thought leeches was like the healing thing back then. If I'm not mistaken.
Well, you were taking out the bad blood, trying to get rid of the bad blood.
Wow. It sounds like Trump's doctor in the White House. Interesting. Interesting. Bleeding America dry. That's my own political opinion. It has nothing to do with Tony. Get the book. And speaking of the book,
it doesn't have anything to do with Tony's book. Not Tony.
Exactly.
She's a
nothing
different
to do
story.
With Tony's book. Two different doctors and two different stories. I get them confused sometimes. Saints, Strangers, and Rosehip Tea. It's on sale now Amazon. Get it now. And very good price, by the way. I think Kindle is only $2.99, and the paperback is $14.99 if you have Prime. That's actually a good price. You cannot buy anything for $14.99. So you might as well invest your money and buy this book. What do you want people to take away from this story when they go purchase the book, Tony?
Just kind of open their eyes to how much richer our history is. And that's not just my history. I mean, everyone's history. There are millions of people that descend from Susanna White. And then she married Edward Winslow after her husband had died. And he became one of the great governors. I mean, he's the guy from history that, you know, if you go to the museums, he's the one with the portrait. So,
okay.
You know, it's just how much richer and deeper our history is, and everyone is represented, not just a bunch of white guys.
Because it hasn't changed, right? A bunch of white old guys. Okay, that's done. That's
if it thing. Wasn't for Tisquantum, they wouldn't have survived even with her. I mean, he's the one that came forward and helped them build a colony and how to plant and, you know, everything, and that's because they friended him. They actually had moved into his abandoned village where they had all died of smallpox.
Yeah, we know that story. We're not going to go there because we wanted that's a happy ending. You know what I mean, Tony?
Because he's there. He's in the book.
He's in the book. Just don't give him a blanket.
Has to be.
Don't give him a blanket.
Oh, well,
wow.
He'd been captured and hauled off to Spain and then to England before he got back. And in that time, the smallpox wiped out his village.
Oh, my God.
And then when he escaped, or actually was released, he went home and find out that, you know, this group of pilgrims are living in there.
Hey,
and he stepped
squatter's
forward
right.
And helped them survive.
That's right. Squatter's right. And that's just how it goes. He should have read our Constitution. He should have read it before he came back. I'm telling you, it's all right there.
But we didn't have that yet.
Oh, we didn't. Damn it.
No, that'd be like in another 150 years.
Yeah, I know. Damn you, Alexander Hamilton. But it's a really great story, and these people are real, and you will come. And I like the message, what you're saying. We do have rich history, all of us do, and we just don't even know it. And sometimes you just got to open your eyes, and you are connected to a strong-ass woman that makes you a strong-ass woman. This is where you got it from. You got it from, you
can't
know.
Can't be helped.
You can't. Speaking of that, we don't talk about things. The second time I think you've been on a show, what a lovely lady. But we don't talk about your sex life at all. Why is that?
Well, because it's kind of become ancient history.
Oh, it's part of history. So we should research that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Names
like,
will
well,
be
we go we go back 60 years. Wow. But I didn't – you have daughters, really? I mean, you were married once? Do you have any daughters?
I was married
family?
Twice.
You were?
Yeah.
Were you a sex
In fact, I must tell you, mm-hmm. I must tell you, my first husband
sure.
that I divorced, like, in the late 70s called mm-hmm. me, and he said, congratulations on your great success as an author. And I thought, who told you about that $3 I earned on Thursday? But for once, I shut up and let him think I was successful. And then he sent me the $400 he's owed me since 1982.
Wow.
See, Tommy Joy, your name will be mentioned.
No kidding. Well, did you find out anything about him? Like, is he married, has kids, is he divorced?
No, he's
Why
not
would
married.
He look up his... Of course he's not married. He saw your picture in that book. I know what he's thinking. He knows what he knows what he wants. You know what I mean? Look at you, Tony.
Yep.
What do you think?
Oh,
you think
I'm the one they don't forget.
You're leading me down that path, and I refuse to go, Tony. I'm going to be a good guy this time. I'm I'm gonna be in a good light because I can go down to that dark, dark road so quickly, and you're giving me red meat in a compass. I will not take the bait. Get the book. It's called, you got me so confused.
Strangers and Rosehip Tea.
Tea is on Amazon now. Tony, you know what we're going to do. Our interview's over, but you know what we do. We have, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. That was 30 seconds. And if something we did not go over, something you want to mention, don't forget your social media, don't forget your website, please do. And it's all yours, Tony.
Well, as an older person, which I keep referring to, I have a very active Facebook author page, and I post something every day from usually writers. Literary history is posted every day for that date throughout time. Also, I've got my my website, and you mentioned it before. It's TonyKeefe.com, and I do not take care of that like I should, but I'm trying to do better. Also, I'm one of the founders and directors of the Writers Cooperative of the Pacific Northwest, and we're a gathering of writers, and we're north of Seattle. And most of us are indie authors. We've got about 40 active members. And that pretty well sums me up for now.
Right.
And don't forget stories about the backseat of a GTO.
You're going to lead me down there. I am still keeping down the angel path. You're leading me down to, you're a troublemaker, Tony. You're a troublemaker. Tell me about your car. I mean, it sounds like you are a car fan. Are you a car fan? Remember the GTO? Remember the Mustang? Remember the Firebirds? Are you a car fan?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I remember them.
Really? What was your favorite car?
Rode in most of them. My favorite car?
In the front seat or the back seat?
I had a 1952 T-Bird, the two-seater.
Yeah.
Now, look out. You can't mess around in a Corvette because, I mean,
right,
you've got limited room.
Right.
But, that, you know, if I could just have any old car, I want that old two-seater. Although,
really?
I pick up my grandson, and there's an Edsel that's for sale on somebody's lot, and I want to get it
right,
and make that 16-year-old drive that Edsel to school.
Oh, yeah. So cool. I fell in love with, I remember the T-Birds. They had a two-seater. It came out maybe in the 60s, if I'm not 70s. Well, you saw it in American Graffiti, where Suzanne Summers went by.
Oh, that's
and she was,
that car is of the 50s.
Oh, okay. Those were badass cars. I had a 67 Firebird. I got more ass in that car than a toilet seat. It was so red, four on the floor. It was a muscle car. I mean, to a motorcycle, it would be like a Harley.
That was
a chick, man. What is some of the cars that will just make you go, I know the guy doesn't look that good, but I got to get into that car and take a nice little ride in the country. What car would make you get into that seat, even though the guy may not be the best-looking guy in the world, but he has that
car?
Those
old Corvettes. Those old Corvettes.
Oh,
my mother
yeah.
used to tease me. She said, the reason those Corvette guys keep dating you is because you're so short they can still cruise for other women. Nobody can see you in the passenger seat. She's the same woman that said my author picture makes me look sweet and I really need to get another one.
Oh, man. But you know what I don't like about the Corvettes? They rattle. Did you have that experience?
I thought
Corvettes.
It was me.
You? Could be. All right, question. Have you spent more time in the back seat or in the front seat of a car in all these years, if you had to go for time?
You've got to remember, I graduated in 1966.
Yeah, that was pretty
so
rough.
Our time was cars and parking.
Right.
Because, you know, we didn't have places to go, you know, out in the middle of a cornfield.
Right. Wow, you got to write about this.
You know,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You really do.
Yeah.
You.
I've been walking in this pandemic. I've been walking in the cemetery.
Have you really?
Because
you really?
I live like less than a quarter of a mile from the cemetery. I cut through a backyard and through the Catholic Church parking lot and walk in the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I have great-great-grandparents in that cemetery, mm-hmm. and I'm not from here. My mother is.
Really?
So
wow.
And they tease me at the Writers' Cooperative that I walk the cemetery looking for a new plot.
Tony, you are
yes.
a bad girl. You're a bad girl. Let's talk about the whores that you hang around with, book whores. Would you like to, would you like to talk about those whores?
In fact, I'm reading Robert Crawford's book, who leads that group right now, and it's damn, it's good. But
is
he wrote
really?
A sex scene. I thought you really should have maybe talked to a woman since you're giving a woman's point of view on a sex scene.
Yeah, that's he's a good guy. I talked to him. I really talked to him. He's a great guy. Yeah, that's a mistake.
His book is fantastic. I mean,
what's
I've never been just gobbled up in a book.
Really?
The River Never Speaks?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I talked to, he's been on the show a couple times. We're friends. He's a great guy, by the way. He's a really great guy. Wow.
I don't know him other than just being one of the whores.
One of the whores?
Yes.
They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. Tony, thank you so much for coming in. By the way, the interview was about over 10 minutes ago. You're welcome. If you want the audio, let me know, because it will be the serious interview. And the chit-chat we had afterwards was for my pleasure, because I wanted to get to know you, and I wanted the listeners and your future fans get to know what a great sense of humor you have and a very naughty, naughty bad girl you were and probably still are.
Oh, I was good.
I'm sure that's what they said.
I just think the ex-husband still call.
Oh, my God. You got to come back, and we got to chat. Watch him. Watch him.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a lounge singer in Baltimore.
Oh, my God. Did you ever think about it, though? I mean, when was the last time you saw him?
Oh, it's been a long time. He's got a really bad hairpiece now.
Really?
And we would have had getting close to like our 49th, 50th anniversary
wow.
not long ago. And I was trying to put together our wedding picture with our now faces in it.
Right.
And I just couldn't do it. That is a bad hairpiece. Looks like he's got bangs. It's really terrible.
Oh, he needs you so bad. He needs you so bad. But it would be nice. Do you have children by him, by the way?
I have one adopted
really?
Son.
Oh, really?
And I tell him that he ruined my figure.
You know, that's what we need. We need more traumatized children. It's bad enough that he's adopted. Now you're going to traumatize. I mean, you're doing really good.
Well,
keep
he's
writing.
45 now.
He could still be traumatized.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why I told him, you ruined my figure. He goes, I'm adopted. And I said, well, look at me then, look at me now. Who's the difference? It's you.
You know, that would be another book about adopted children and how they adjusted and how they adjust to you, how you adjusted them. Because most adopted children, if you're adopted, chances are you've been traumatized. You cannot, there's
yes,
no way in hell
absolutely.
You cannot be traumatized by somebody just throwing you away. And I don't think
well,
we got
funny.
The full
I've
story.
Got a book sitting here.
Oh, you do?
I only bought it because she had the same last name, Ann Keefe. And
mm-hmm.
it's Blessed by Adoption, and it's her story. I haven't read it yet, and I know I need to. It's
mm-hmm.
her story being she's from Germany.
Right.
And she married into one of my distant relatives on my father's side. And
oh,
so
okay.
I've got to read her book just because we had the same name.
Wow, Keefe. And by the way, I'm talking to the great Tony Keith right now. Saints, Strangers, and Rosehip Tea. It's on Amazon right now. Get the paperback. And also get the Kindle thing if you're cheaper. But get it. It's a good read. You'll learn something about yourself, too. And how's Mildred doing? Mildred Doubles Down and The Edge of the Storm and Mildred Unchained. You had a series of Mildreds. How are they doing?
Well, it's like as soon as I published this one, like on the 16th, the 17th I went to write, and I started coming up with ideas about Mildred walking in the cemetery during the pandemic. Because she was on a cruise ship, and I released it like 2 weeks before this hit. And so I thought, well, I've got her walking in a cemetery, and she finds body parts.
Oh, goody. You must
but
be
But I don't know where it's going yet from there, actually.
You know, if you were my mother, I would love for you to read me fairy tale stories, gruesome fairy tales. I mean, I could see Snow White as a serial killer. I mean, from you, it would be really great. But isn't this ironic? I mean, you go to Suzanne. I'm sorry. Is it Suzanne White? Am I?
Susanna. Susanna Jackson White Winslow.
There you go. And what she was facing and people dying because of scarlet fever, the scurvy, whatever. And then we get to 2020, you walking through a graveyard and a pandemic. Look at 400 years later. Isn't that freaky? Think about it. That's freaky.
Oh, yeah. And I swear,
wow.
My great-great-grandfather walks with me sometimes. His headstone is missing, so I've pulled out some cousins to help raise money so we can replace his headstone.
Well, are they live cousins or dead cousins? I'm just going to...
The live ones.
Okay, they're live.
I've got
okay.
One involved simply because the other people living out here know him and they don't know me.
Right, because it's really
they
hard
to... They know my sister.
Right. You got an interesting story about you. How did you grow up? Did you grow up with parents who were attentive or did you grow up with parents who were kind of argumentative? And what kind of household did you grow up in?
I grew up in an honest, straightforward, hilarious household.
Really?
And whenever I say anything inappropriate, I know that's from my dad. He was a fire chief in Illinois, and my mother was a news photographer.
Ah.
And they raised me to kind of trust and believe in everybody I meet. So I'm a pretty good target because I'll think the best of you.
That must have been one hell of a household because you got one hell of a sense of humor. I love your dark side. I really do.
And my
do.
Sister Penny is the loud one.
Oh, really? So you're the shy
oh,
one
yes.
of the bunch. Oh, my God.
Well, no, there's two talkers and two quiet ones.
Oh, okay.
And she said that Penny said it was convenient that they gave us each one that we could bully.
Well, you know what? You're delightful, and if I was gay, I would say you're delicious, but I'm going to say you're delightful. get the book, Tony Keefe, K-I-E-F, Amazon, and get the book. You're going to love it. She says it better than I do, but I'm going to try it again. It's Saints, Strangers, and Rose Hip Tea. Tony Keefe, K-I-E-F, get the book. Tony, thank you so much. Enjoy the. You and I are sucking the same smoke. It is the fires are worse. How you doing, Tony?
It's
are
raining
you okay?
here today.
Is it
raining
really
here today? Started
wow.
last night. It's been raining. We're supposed to be getting a little better late this afternoon.
God, thank God.
I've been walking in a mask.
Oh, have you really? Have
yep.
you seen the blood moon and the blood sun? Tony, where you are?
No, I missed them.
Oh, my God, Tony. It's blood red. The moon is blood red. The sunrise, it's blood red. I have never seen that color before because there's
red
so much smoke
and
everything. I know. Sailor I mean, it's, I get. Really? Can you say that again? Because I was talking over you.
It's red sky in the morning. Sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight.
Ooh. I like that. You know why? You know, I hear that you have to be careful of the sailor. Never date them because they're semen. I gotta go. You took me there. You know you did.
So.
Damn you, Tony Keith.
I'm taking responsibility for that.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Damn you.
Damn it, Dad.
Get the book. I love you very much. And thank you for a great interview. We'll be in touch. Get the book, everybody. Go to Amazon right now. And Saints, Strangers, and Rosehip Tea. Thank you, Tony. Have a great Saturday. And please be safe. I want you back on your next book. Love you a lot. And tell those whores I said hello.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Bye, Tony. Be safe.
Bye.
There you go, everybody. The great Tony Keith. We'll be right back on our special edition because I have something on my mind. So, meaning this interview is over, so Tony's safe. So we start something else, my opinion on transgender, when we come back. I want to play a special song for Tony because I really believe that she is one special writer and she's one special author. And I just woke up, so excuse my behavior. It's Saturday in California. It's smoky. The sky, you know, skies are, it's orange. We have the blood moon. And it's horrific out here. It really is. I want to play a really special song for Tony, and I could have sworn I loaded it into the studio. But we will come back after the song because I do have my own opinion piece on transgender. All right. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio, Los Angeles, number one guy in the morning. And we'll be right back and for my opinion piece. This is for you, Tony. This is for you, Tony.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe. But she knows she can fly away.
goes out to the great writer, Toni Keith. Get the book. It will be a delight. She's one of the best writers. I am a fan of hers. You know, usually we don't do a Saturday show. And usually I hold up, you know, I will hold my opinions on Monday through Friday. That's our regular show. We're on at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you like to follow the show, if you're not one of my friends on Facebook, you are lucky. But if you like to follow the show, all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/ Brian Hammer Jackson. You will get notified when we are on. Yesterday we had a big, I got in a little tit-a-tay. I mean, the tit part's always good, but the tay, not so good. And it was an article that really incensed me. Now, I'm not insensitive. I mean, I'm all for civil rights. You know that. I'm black. But not only that, I'm from women's rights, gay rights, whatever rights. People should have civil rights. I'm okay with that. But I'm not okay with transgender. I'm not. I don't believe in it. I think it's a mental illness. I think parents are doing a disservice to go and play, go along with that and play with that for their kids. Now, I'm old school. It wasn't uncommon for little girls to be Tom. We used to call them tomboys, climb trees, go sports, kick some ass, even beat up boys once in a while. All of a sudden, if that little girl, now we have a law, and the reason I'm saying this, we have a law in California. The law says, and this is the law, this is true law. If you had, let's say you had a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old girl. This is the law. And one day, she says, Daddy, I want to be a boy, and I want you to call me Billy. This is a law. No, this is not a joke. By law, as soon as she admits that, she is now an official transgender. And you have to, when we're talking 7 years old, I'm not even joking here. You now she will be referred to, she must be referred to by her boy name. That's the law. She doesn't need any papers. She doesn't need any medical things. She doesn't need nothing. All of a sudden, one morning, you could wake up, and if you're a female, you can go anywhere. You can go to your job and say, I am now a boy, and vice versa, too. It's the law. See, the problem I have with this millennial society, everybody gets a trophy. We must support everything. You know, I'm old school. If I was riding a bike, I fell down. My father used to yell a block away. Don't fall down again. Get on that bike. Ride it. Now with these millennials, with the support system, everybody gets a trophy. If you fall down, all the neighbors run out of their house. Not only do they pick you up on a bike, they will push you to your destination. And I think this is wrong. I think the millennials have this thing in their mind that all of us is one and one is all. Competition is bad. Winners and losers should not be around. This drives us. This makes us better, being a winner and a loser. This is what makes us a better person. We must have winners and losers, or else we would not be successful people. So let's go with the story that really pissed me off. And we got to a society where we have to accept everything, even if we don't agree with it. But we have to accept it. I mean, you have to accept it. There's no other choice. You have to. Because if you don't, you are criminalized. You are scourged. You are racist. You are sexist. You're a monogamous, whatever. You're everything. You're the worst person on earth if you do not accept. You must accept me being gay, even though you may not agree with the lifestyle. God forbid, if you go on Facebook or whatever, and somebody says, "Hey, I got a rainbow hat. I like rain. I'm gonna kiss. Excuse me, when I kiss the rainbow sky," and you say, "Well, I just don't accept gays." You are now a criminal. You can't even speak your mind. You are forced to accept this behavior whether you like it or not. This is thrust upon him. We can go with Black Lives Matter. We can go with that too. We can go with anything. You can go with women's rights. God save you if there's a woman on there and you say, well, I believe a woman should be in the kitchen. And you will be hunted down and burned like a witch. Because we are forced to accept things, even when we don't believe in them. And I don't think that's right. I really don't think that's right. Because the people, they have rights too. We're saying, well, they don't have rights. Okay, we gave you rights. But why are you treading on mine? Just shut the fuck up. You know, why are you treading? Why am I forced that if I have a daughter, that just because you come out as a transgender and you got facial hair, a penis, and all this shit, and you look like a lumberjack, that you could go into a bathroom where she is, and I, and you're a stranger, by the way, and I can't say shit because you got that card, that mythical, magical card that says transgender. That's forcing us to change the way we even go to the bathroom in public. So now we have to, now we have communal bathrooms instead of a boy and a girl and this, communal and transgender. What the fuck is that? So I got in a little tit for tat. I mean, I'm pretty good with the tit, but I'm not so good with the tat. You know what I'm saying? 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 So there was an article that came to my attention, and I'm going to read it. I'm a big fan. I can't pronounce it, but I do have Disney Plus. And I'm a big fan of Gina Carano. I'm a big fan. So to my dismay, she is being attacked, bullied, criminalized, scourge of the earth. They want her head. And they also want her fired. Why? I'll tell you why. Here we go. I'll read it. Gina Carano called out for a transphobic Twitter presence. We have this thing. Social media is tending to run our laws now. And don't think I'm taking this lightly. You be serious. The social media justice has got to go. Nothing but freaks. You know, case in point. When I grew up, we had retards. God forbid if you say that name, retards. But retarded is a word. Look it up. And if you don't think, correct, here's a definition. Retarded. Less advanced in mental, physical, or social development than the usual of one's usual age. The offensive word is very foolish or stupid. You're a retard. Now, people are saying, oh my God, don't do that. That's offensive. How is that offensive? He's retarded. I don't know what I'm saying. It's you're the one who I know what I'm talking about. You got a kid who's a retard. And it's in the dictionary. Case in point. These are words we cannot say. Because we're going to offend someone. Here's the story. You tell me if you're on my side or the Social Media Justice League. Gina Carano called out for transphobic Twitter presence. The Mandalorian actress doubles down on her bad pronoun joke. Here's the story. Here's the story. Gina Carano, she put in these words, bop, boop, bop, beep. Now, those three words made the transgender community go cray-cray. They went out of their fucking minds because she put boop, bop, beep. Those three things made them lose their fucking minds. Here's the story. The Mandalorian star, Gina Carano, she has come under fire for mocking the usage of pronouns. They are attacking her because of her use of pronouns now. What's next? You're going to attack her on her adjectives? Or better, or worse, or her colons. Maybe they'll attack her period. Who knows where this can go? Stay with me. So they attacked her on her boop, bop, beep to her name in a poorly conceived joke on people sharing their preferred pronouns. And when it was called out, Carano claimed she supported trans people but refused to change her bio. This is where they're upset. Now, the trannies are upset. They got their trans in a niche, little trans panties in a niche. This has nothing to do with them. This has something to do with her. Maybe she wants to be an individual, and which she can. Maybe she can put anything she wants to as she can. But we got the trans people get their little panties in a knit. Carano is not alone in questioning why people are including their pronouns in their bios, their email signatures, and their introductions. We do so because, now, there's a new thing out there. Did you know this? They call us, the trannies call us cis people. C-I-S. We are now cis people. You see how, you see what happens when we do this shit? That they come up with these little tiny acronyms for things, and now we're cis. If you don't know what a cis, which we are, these are people who are, what are they, comfortable in skin. So they come up with these stupid, cute little things. You're cis. When we have the mental patients running the asylum, nothing good can happen with this. So I'm going to continue reading. I'm going to continue. We do this because when cis people share their pronouns, it hopefully makes it easier for trans, non-binary, which is not a word and which is not a thing. You know what a non-binary person is? This is a person who doesn't recognize sex. They don't recognize that you're a boy. They don't recognize you're a girl. They're called binary people now. Now we got cis people. We got binary people. We got transgender. What the fuck is going on? Quit encouraging this mental illness and this stupidity. I will not accept this. I will continue reading. And hopefully it makes it easier for... Who cares if we want to make it easier for the trans? They chose that lifestyle. Too bad. And non-binary and gender non-conforming folks to do the same. In GLAAD's tips for allies, oh boy, I'm going to throw up in my mouth. They encourage folks to share their pronouns because this sends the message that you are not making assumptions about anyone's gender. No, we're not. You got a penis, you're a boy. No assumption here. Even though you dress like a girl, you're a freak. You still got a penis, you're a boy. Let me tell you something about you trans fucks. Which I do not believe in you. You can call yourself a girl, but at the end of the day, you do the same thing. You suck a dick and you take it up the ass. That's who you are. So don't tell me you're, well, I met a lot of girls who do that. Very interesting. I dated one. Okay, forget it. I'm going down romantic lane. But that's not all they do. But at the end of the day, you can call yourself a girl, but the only way you can do it is take it up the ass and a little sucky-wucky. Knock it off. You're not a girl. And I'm not going to have you encourage this delusion and pretend that this is a thing. So going back to why she got attacked. She got attacked. Is Gina Carano or anyone required to share their pronouns? Of course not. And if she posted this joke out of ignorance, out of not understanding why pronouns matter, that would be one thing. But Carano admitted that her co-star, Pedro Pascal, who I really love in the Disney movie, had explained why pronouns matter. Carano wrote, "I didn't know before, but I do now. I won't be putting them in my bio, but good for you all. You choose to do that, and you choose not to do it. I stand against bullying, especially the most vulnerable, and freedom to choose." Fine. Don't bully us. Because you got your tranny panties in a tranny panties in a snit. It's like, look, we said it all, and we have done offensive things. We all had moments of ignorance, cruelty, and lapses in compassion. But hopefully, we learn from them, and we grow, and we do better. But while she claimed to understand the meaning of pronoun usage, she refuses to change her message. They want her to change her profile because it offends them. Not only does it offend them, until she changes it, they are asking her, or they're calling Disney to fire her ass because she won't change her profile because it's offensive to them. This is her profile, by the way. Because just because it's offensive to you, do you have a right to call your job and get him fired because you're offended of something you personally don't care about? It's your profile. Do we have to make profiles non-offensive so somebody's not going to get pissed off? This is what happened. And it says about why she claims to understand the meaning of pronoun uses, she refuses to change her message. While she doesn't have to post her pronouns, she also doesn't have to mock others who are. That's when ignorance turns into, there's a new word, transphobia and cruelty, because of your own profile has pronouns in them. So this is now cruelty and transphobia. This is a new thing, transphobia. It's a new thing. So bottom line, in a nutshell, they've been bullying her. They've been harassing her. They've been asking that she gets fired from her job because her profile upset some of you transit, what do you call it, transy pussies, which you wish you had one. These mental ill creatures are taking over our society. It is not a thing. It's a mental illness. And we are catering to that because they're different. Then you're going to cater to the transgenders. You might cater to the binary people. Then you have to cater to the cis people. And what else do we have to cater to? And so I had a little thing on Facebook and I had a little tit for tat. And I decided if they can transition, I can too. I am now a rabbit. I will be known as Bugs, and I'm transitioning to being a rabbit. I am now a rabbit, and I want to be addressed as a rabbit. And I appreciate it, because I would get offended if you do not call me a rabbit. Thank you. Talk about, so Gina wrote, open up your businesses and churches, put whatever regulations you want to, because that is your right, but open them up. You're telling me COVID-19 knows the difference between a protest or praise and worship. I haven't even been to church in over a decade, but I sure would like to go now. I don't know why they're just going to her tweets. So bottom line, that's the story. So these people are asking her, or telling Disney to get her fired because they don't agree with what she put in her profile, because it offends them. Her own profile offends them. She wrote this to fire back. We're talking about Gina Carano, and I stand by her. So somebody asked her what's going on, and she says, they're mad because I won't put pronouns in my bio to show my support for trans lives. After months of harassing me in every way, I decided to put three very controversial words in my bio. Beep, bop, boop. I'm not against trans lives at all. They need to find less abusive representation. They're bullying her. So whatever happened about bullying normal people? I forgot. Normal people don't exist anymore because normal people are busy kissing freak people's asses. And therefore, we don't even know what normal is anymore. We're like the freaks. We are supporting the freaks. They are running the asylum, and we don't know where to go. That's right. It's time for normal people to point out the freaks like we used to and say, knock it off, freaks. Here's another person that put on Twitter. Gina Carano saying stuff like this, don't judge and don't harass, and literally mocks an act that is done to support transgender people. The transphobia is trans. There is no trans. I'm sick and tired of what. I'm going to look at a dictionary, see if there's transphobia, because I'm having a trans fit, because I don't think there is a transphobia. I'm putting transphobia in. List comes up. What do you know? It's in the dictionary. Transphobia is a noun, dislike or prejudice against transsexual or transgender. So what's the difference between a transsexual or a transgender? I have no idea. Dislike of or prejudice against transsexual or transgender people. So why can't we dislike them? That's the whole point of what this rant is. Why are we forced to accept everything, every freaking thing? Why are we forced to accept transgender? Why are we forced to accept anything that we don't feel comfortable with? And if you want to include in, I know what you're thinking because I'm black. If you want to say Black Lives Matter, that's fine with me. No one should be able to force you to accept anything that you don't believe in or you're not comfortable in. And I'm saying this right now. If some fucker, transgender comes up to me going, "Hi, Brian, I'm a girl," I'm going to kick him in his girl balls and say, "You got some," I said, "open your legs," and they're going to go, "Frankly," and I'm going to kick him between his legs. I said, "Do you feel that?" And he's going to go, "Yes, I kicked you in your balls. You're going to come to me saying that you're a girl? Come back to me when you have none. That I just gave you medical advice. It's free. I'll kick you in your transy balls. It is free service. You're welcome. It's on your HMO plan." I don't accept that shit. So the question is, why are we forced to accept? It could be anything. You could be a misogynist. You could be a sexist. Why can't you just say, "You know what? I like my women in the kitchen barefoot, naked, with a nice ass, preferably tight, and cooking for a man." What is so wrong? And if you're not that woman, that's cool. Why do you have to criminalize some men who like their women in barefoot, naked, in the kitchen, cooking my sausage or meat? Cooking. What is wrong with that? We're so busy trying to help other folks who are retarded. We got retards running around. We got transgender running around. We got Donald Trump in office that explains the retard. What the hell is happening? We must take, at least if we can't take our country back, let's take us back. Why can't we not agree? You know, you transgender fucks, you got your way. We're saying transgender. Leave us alone. Be happy. Run away. Just because we don't like you, we don't believe in you. I believe in Santa Claus more than I believe in you. You don't have to come after us and bully us and force us to believe in you. You don't have to come after us and force us to like you and force us to sit in a campfire with you or a camp out or go to Boy Scout camp with you because we don't want to. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Leave us normal folks alone. This has been a PSA announcement. Don't worry, Tony. That has nothing to do with your interview. Your interview was way over. The edited version doesn't have my op-ed in it, just your interview. So I say to you gay people, I say to you transgender people, I say to you hashtag me too, I say to you, any one of you people, leave us alone. We heard you. But you don't have to force us to believe in you or want to or like you. We have rights too. We have the right to discriminate. That didn't come out right. We have our own preferences. That's better. And we don't have to like you. Leave us alone and quit bullying us because we're normal. I had to get that off my chest. Weighing heavy. Weighing heavy. And I'm going to play this, and I want to thank you for listening to Brian the Hammer Show, the number one guy in the morning, Hammer 96.7, BTR. And also support some of our great authors who had nothing to do with my op-ed and my opinions. Their work is separate from me. And to be the first one to let you know about it, I had nothing to do with him. The great book called Saints, Strangers, and Rose Hip Tea. by Tony Keef, K-I-E-F. I'm going to leave you with this and something very much to think about on a Saturday, smoky Saturday in California.
Hey, Kate, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Well, you know Trekkie Monster upstairs?
Uh-huh.
Well, he's Trekkie Monster and you're Kate Monster.
Right.
You're both monsters.
Yeah.
Are you two related?
What? Princeton, I'm surprised at you. I find that racist.
Well, I'm sorry. I was just asking.
Well, it's a touchy subject. No, all monsters are related. What are you trying to say, huh? That we all look the same to you?
No,
huh?
No. Oh, not at all. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess that was a little racist.
I should say so. You should be much more careful when you're talking about the sensitive subject of race.
Well, look who's talking.
What do you mean?
What about that special monster school you told me about?
What about it?
Well, could someone like me go there?
No, we don't want people like you.
You see? You're a little bit racist.
Well, you're a little bit too.
I guess we're both a little bit racist.
Admitting it is not an easy thing to do.
But I guess it's true.
Between me and you, I think everyone's a little bit racist. Sometimes. Doesn't mean we go around committing hate crimes. Look around and you will find no one's really colorblind. Maybe it's a fact we all should face. Everyone makes judgments based on race.
Now, not big judgments like who to hire or who to buy a newspaper from.
No.
No, just little judgments like thinking that Mexican busboys will learn to speak goddamn English.
Right.
Everyone's a little bit racist today. So everyone's a little bit racist. Okay. Ethnic jokes might be uncouth, but you laugh because they're based on truth. Don't take them as personal attacks. Everyone enjoys them. So relax.
All right, stop me if you've heard this one.
Okay.
All right, there's a plane going down.
Uh-huh.
There's only one parachute, and there's a rabbi, a priest,
and a black guy.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Kate? You were telling a black joke.
Well, sure, Gary, but lots of people tell black jokes.
I don't.
Well, of course you don't. You're black. But I bet you tell Polack jokes, right?
Well, sure I do. Those stupid Polacks.
Now, don't you think that's a little racist?
Well, damn. I guess you're right.
You're a little bit racist.
Well, you're a little bit too.
We're all a little bit racist.
I think that I would have to agree with you.
We're glad you do.
If that were true,
everyone's a little bit racist.
Alright.
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 Bigotry has never been exclusively white.
If we all could just admit that we are racist a little bit. Even though we all know that it's wrong, maybe it would help us get along.
Oh, Christ, do I feel good.
Now there was a fine, upstanding black man.
Who?
Jesus Christ.
But Gary, Jesus was white.
No, Jesus was black.
No, Jesus was white.
No, I'm pretty sure Jesus was black.
Guys,
Jesus was Jewish.
Hey guys, what are you laughing about?
Racism!
Cool!
Hey! Come back here! You take all these recycle birds!
What's that mean?
Recyclable.
Hey! Don't laugh at her! How many languages do you speak?
Oh, come off it, Brian!
Everyone's a little bit racist.
I'm not!
Oh, no?
Nope! Ma! How many Oriental wives have you got? Brian, buddy, where you been? The term is Asian American.